Things change quickly. Only a few days before this, Jesus had ridden into Jerusalem on a donkey, celebrated as the coming king, the long-promised Messiah. But Jesus knew that things change quickly. While others celebrated his arrival, as Jesus neared Jerusalem, he wept. He wept because he knew they would very soon reject him. He knew they would choose judgment rather than choose to follow him. They would not choose to see that he was the King from heaven come to give them peace with God. And now we see, only a few days later, his rejection is almost complete. The Jewish authorities had already made up their mind a long time ago. They hated Jesus. They thought he was a blaspheming Galilean nobody. They had already rejected him. And the crowd that had shouted Hosanna was now going to shout, "Crucify him." But now, even those closest to Jesus had abandoned him. Those who had witnessed him day in, day out for the last 3 years were now nowhere to be seen. Judas had betrayed Jesus. His other disciples had fled when he was arrested. Even the self-proclaimed boldest of them all, Peter, had disowned Jesus 3 times, pretending to not know him. And so Jesus was all alone. Now Jesus was facing his final dreadful hours alone. As we read on into Luke chapter 23, as we've just read, we see Jesus on trial. He stands before the leaders of the day, before the Jewish high priests, before the Sanhedrin, before the Herod, and before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor who will determine his fate. The Jewish leaders know that they need Pilate to do their dirty work. So they bring Jesus before Pilate with charges that make Jesus sound like a rebel, make him sound like someone plotting against the Roman Empire. But what is very clear is Jesus' innocence. All through his interrogation, before Pilate and then before Herod and then back to Pilate again, no guilt can be found. Even while he endured ridicule and mocking and beating, Jesus gave no cause for any charge against him to be proven. He stands before them mostly silent, like an innocent lamb before the slaughter. And it's clear here that Pilate finds Jesus totally innocent. He makes that clear several times. Verse 4, then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." Verse 13 and 15, Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers and the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I've examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death." And then finally in verse 22, for the third time he spoke to them. "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore I will have him punished and then release him." Both Pilate and even Herod don't care much for Jesus, but at the same time they can both find absolutely no crime that Jesus deserves punishment for. To them, Jesus is innocent. When you read this account from Luke, Jesus' innocence comes screaming off the pages. He is innocent, but he's declared guilty. But today, see the even deeper innocence of Jesus. Jesus is not just innocent of these crimes. No, Jesus is totally innocent. Jesus is uniquely innocent. You see, Jesus, unlike all of humanity, before or after him, Jesus is entirely sinless. Hebrews 4:15, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as you are, just as we are, yet he did not sin. 2 Corinthians 5, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 1 Peter 2, he committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. Jesus, the Son of God, is sinless perfection, totally innocent of all charges, totally innocent of all sin. Not just innocent before the Jewish and Roman court, no, Jesus is innocent standing before the throne of God. But here we see him on trial for his very life. And here we see, even though no guilt can be found, Pilate surrenders Jesus to their will. And their will is to see the Son of God, the Messiah, put to death. So there is seemingly no point to this whole trial, is there? It begins with lies. It ends with gross injustice. The trial is really a sham. The trial is a total miscarriage. The trial seems pointless. But what we should see here is that really, it's not Jesus on trial. He is innocent. That's plain to see. Now, as the Gospel of Luke recalls this sham trial, what we need to see is that it's not really Jesus on trial, but the people who have arrested him, the people who are deciding his fate, the people who are shouting for his death, those who condemn him to the cross. What we see in this trial is that while Jesus is innocent, everyone else is found to be guilty. Judas has betrayed the king. He is guilty. The disciples have deserted the Messiah. They are guilty. Peter has 3 times disowned the one he had declared earlier as the Christ. Peter is guilty. And now in this trial, we see more people seal their guilt. The Jewish leaders have plotted against Jesus. They've arrested him. They've mocked him and spat on him. They've urged others to put him to death. They are guilty. Herod has treated Jesus like a bit of entertainment, mocking him and sending him on his way to the cross. He is guilty. The soldiers have mocked and beaten Jesus. They will soon march him to Calvary and nail him to the cross. Now they are guilty. The crowd, some who days before would have waved palm branches and laid their cloaks on the road as Jesus rode by, have now replaced cries of Hosanna, Hosanna with cries of crucify him, crucify him. They are guilty. And Pilate knows Jesus is innocent. He makes it clear that he sees absolutely no wrongdoing in Jesus. He believes in Jesus' innocence. But rather than carry out justice, he gives in to political self-preservation and he sends the innocent to a barbaric death. He can wash his hands as much as he likes, but Pilate is guilty too. They are all guilty. But there's a deeper guilt here. It is a guilt that I share with them. It is a guilt that we all share with them. We are all guilty of rejecting and ignoring the same king who stood before them on trial that day. We are all guilty of the same sinful rejection of the true God, as guilty as the Jewish leaders, as guilty as Herod, the soldiers, the crowd, and Pilate. We see it very clearly in Romans 3. It says, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. You see, all humanity shares the same guilt of sin, a sin that separates us all from God. The sin of the Jewish leaders sent Jesus to the cross. The sin of Herod, the soldiers, the crowd, and Pilate sent Jesus to the cross. But my sin sent him there too. Your sin also sent Jesus to the cross. Jesus, the Son of God, is found innocent before God's throne. But humanity is found guilty. And it's a guilt that is deserving of our death. But by God's grace, there is more to this story. Because here in Luke, in this trial, we meet another guilty party. He is a man who's actually mentioned in all four of the Gospels, Barabbas. In the Gospels, he's depicted as a murderer, a thief, a man who's guilty of insurrection, an evil, violent rebel. He is as guilty as they come. And Pilate knows this man, Barabbas. He knows this man's outrageous evil. Pilate brings him out. He parades Barabbas in front of the crowd, and he gives the crowd a choice. He will show grace. Pilate will grant freedom to one Jewish prisoner, as was the custom at the Passover festival. Pilate thinks he's being clever. Pilate doesn't see anything guilty about Jesus, but Barabbas is guilty, guilty, guilty. He knows that. Everyone knows that. Barabbas is well known, we read in other Gospels, for his crimes, for his evil, for his guilt. But as much as Pilate appeals to them, as much as he thinks it's an obvious choice, the crowd insists that the murderer go free and Jesus goes to the cross. And so Pilate, to avoid a riot, to avoid unrest, to make life easier for himself, he frees the guilty, he condemns the innocent. Jesus, the sinless, takes the place of the sinful Barabbas. Brothers and sisters, we are Barabbas. He is a rebel deserving of death. I am a rebel deserving of death. You are a rebel deserving of death. But because of the unfailing love of God, because of the unfathomable depths of mercy shown to us by God, we are released. We are released from the condemning stranglehold of our own sinfulness, and all of that is placed, it is loaded onto Jesus at the cross. Put simply, Jesus takes our place. Barabbas was released. He was given a new life. Now, we have no idea what road he went down after this. We don't know his story after this. But amazingly, we see ours. When Jesus is bound, we are released. When Jesus is nailed, we are released. When Jesus breathes his final agonizing breath, we are breathed new life. When Jesus bears on himself all of my dreadful sin and all of your dreadful sin, when we trust in him, we are released. We are forgiven. Our sins are paid in full. We are given new life. Friends, when you see the depths of your sin, you see what incredible and fatal burden Jesus took for you at the cross. There we see the innocence of our sinless Saviour. We see the guilt of humanity. We see the guilt of our own hearts. But then we see the loving, we see the willing substitution of the Son of God who took the sin of Barabbas's, just like you and me. He offers total forgiveness to those who put their trust in him. So all I can really ask this morning is, do you trust in Jesus as the one who bore all your sins on the cross? Do you trust in Jesus as the one who walked the lonely road to Calvary in your place? We can only trust in him. There's nowhere else to go, and there's nowhere better to go than our Saviour and Lord Jesus Christ. He took our sin. He took our punishment. He took our place. What riches of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment. His life was the cost. We stood neath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is way, way more.